Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Tribal Wisdom by Bridal Tribe. I am your host, Cynthia Williamston, and I'm so happy to be with you again on Wedding Wednesday. Happy Wedding Wednesday, by the way, to all of our Facebook and Twitter friends. We're so happy that you do support the show, and we want to thank each and every one of you for doing so. Tonight, we're in the middle of our series of setting goals together, together being the optimum word in this particular series. And last week, we had a chat with Dr. Dwayne Shigg, PhD, author and relationship coach, author of Some Things to Know About Marriage Before You Have a Wedding and After, too. It was a wonderful discussion, and we are continuing that discussion today. Last week, if you missed the show, of course, you can go and listen into the archives, but we talked about partnership, we talked about trust, we talked about money guidelines and money attitudes. It was a wonderful conversation, and most of all, we talked about observation before communication when it comes to setting goals. And tonight, we will be talking with the Jordans, Jamal and Hanif Jordan, owners of Touch My Closet, and they also have a radio show, Touch My Closet, on blogspot.com as well. And we hope that you will go ahead and support them. And, of course, they are no stranger to the show. They were my very first guests on the show, not, what, maybe 2-3 months ago. It was a great time. They are such a wonderful couple, and so helpful when they share their wisdom and the wisdom of their journey. And they're back tonight to talk about setting goals together. And as we said, together being the optimum word in this, but we are going to continue the discussion on finances. And I'm not even going to waste any time. We're going to bring them right in. And before we do that, actually, if you want to call in, if you have any questions or comments about the show or for our guests, the number is 347-996-3160. If you'd like to make a comment, you're going to press number 1 to let me know that you are in queue and waiting. And if you just want to listen, that's okay too. So without further ado, we're bringing in Jamal and Hanif Jordan. Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you feeling?
Oh, I know.
Hanif did say that you guys were a little under the weather, and I'm so glad that you kind of fought through it to be on the show anyway, and that actually might guarantee that Jamal may behave tonight. I don't know.
No, that's probably not going to happen. Bird was just a little, mine was yesterday, so I had to get under the covers, sweat it out, you know, get mine done so I could be on and ready for the next day, because my wife was like, yeah, you should call off. I was like, nah, I got to go to work. I got to make this money.
Oh,
I'm going to take care of you before I call off.
And I guess that is our money is our topic tonight, so you're bringing us right into what we need to talk about. And since you've already guaranteed that you will not be behaving, clearly the conversation is going to be interesting. So, guys, you know the topic. We're talking about setting goals together, and you guys have a story to share about your finances. And what did we say that we're going to be discussing?
Just getting our finances together and me transitioning into being a stay-at-home mom.
Yes.
It's very difficult for me right now because there was a time I made a great money, and I brought in enough, and now, you know, we're working on one income. And what Jamal and I have been doing is getting our financial portfolio together.
Financial roles have finally, well, not finally changed, but the financial roles have changed. Before, my wife was the breadwinner, and everything that pretty much 99.9% of our income, even though I had a job, still came from my wife. And now that I finally finished school and I'm working, I've always told her from the jump that I want her to stay home and be a stay-home mom. If she wants to work, she's I have no problem with her doing whatever she wants to do. However, I would love it if she'd be able to just stay home and focus on our children, because I've seen too much stuff in the news where somebody else is watching the kids and the parents are both trying to work and make something happen, and something happens to the children. So once kids get involved, I really probably wouldn't mind her working and being a career woman. But with the kids being at home, yeah, I would prefer that she stays home, and now I'm finally making enough money to allow us to do that.
Nice.
And our roles are changing, and she's not used to the roles changing.
No, I mean, I was still a great mom, meaning I pride myself on that. I still came home, still. Now, this isn't for everybody, okay? So let me make that clear. But I still worked, and I made sure that my house was still clean, that dinner was still cooked, and I was still home, made it home in time. Or I would pre-cook the night before to make sure dinner was ready if I had to stay late at work or something like that. But let me make this clear. Yes, I'm a stay-at-home mom, but I'm an entrepreneur, and I will never just be at home. I can't do that. That's not who I am. And so as long as my husband and I understand that, then we're good. But back to what I was saying was us working on our financial profile, you know, getting in, making sure, you know, you have your life insurance in order, making sure with that you're taking care of your will, because, you know, nothing's promised to us but death when you are do have life. But also making sure that we're investing, and that's something that we currently have hooked up with someone and we're doing.
Well, hold on. Let's slow it down a little bit for individuals who don't know you, because, you know, of course, I know that you guys are working on things, and we've talked before about how you met. You've been married now 12 years, and how you've grown in your communication. But let's slow it down. Tell us again how everything started. Jamal, you were in school for how long? How long was it a relationship where you both kind of worked, but, Jamal, you were in school? So let's start there.
Well,
my husband's been in technically for a long time.
Technically, it's been since 97.
No. Since we've been together. Let me say.
And hold on. Since I've been
How old is our kid?
Guys, come on.
Go ahead,
Savon is 10.
I'm talking about Savon. You've been in there as long as Savon has been.
Yeah, I've been going back and forth where I've been straight going to school and not taking any time off. It's been about 3 to 4 years straight.
Right.
Yeah,
for
I've
a specific
been going.
Goal. Right. So cause you were going for which degree were you headed for?
I started off for business, and which I actually did obtain.
He has that
degree. I actually have a degree in business, but I didn't get the degree until I was in my second year of the radiology program, which I finally graduated from in June. So
congratulations.
Thank you. The business journey took me approximately 8 years to get done.
Okay, so what we're saying is that you guys were living a certain way. So for 8 years, Hanif, you were working full-time as well as being a full-time mom, a full-time wife.
Yes.
Jamal was in school part-time and also working part-time, or?
Yes, I want to make that correct. Yeah, he was working. He didn't, now when he couldn't work at all was the last 3 years, because the way the program works, he just couldn't have a job. He had to, most of his time was there. But yes, he had part-time and he did work. I'm just the one that had the full-time job, had been in the medical field over so many years, so of course I made a certain amount of money.
Now, the reason why I'm asking you to kind of slow it down and explain the story is so that when you begin discussing your journey now, people have a little more insight as to how either easy or difficult the transition is.
Well, I can tell you one big thing that
I got to get
have
off the phone real quick, you guys. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I've been there
One big thing that we had was my wife was very still business orientated and wanted to get everything done, like life insurance and business insurance, and make sure the wills were up to date and pay for this and pay for that, or homeowners. And me being one, a guy, two, half broke. I was of the more of, hey, I'm 21, I'm 25, what do I need health insurance for? Mm-hmm. What do I need life insurance? And unless something happens by a miracle or something, something befalls me tragic, then I plan on living for a while. So I don't really need life. If I don't pay my life insurance this month, I don't care. If I don't pay the renter's insurance, I don't care. Is lights on? Are the bills paid and are the kids eating? That's all I cared about. Hanif, on the other hand, was very, oh, I don't care. We're going to pay it. You can get mad at me all you want to. I'm going to send my $67 to Gerber every month for me and make sure my children have something just in case I die or you die and we don't have anything yet. I'm not going to be burying you coming up with trying to come up with $10,000 on the fly just because you don't want to spend $12 this month.
Right. So I guess you could say that you each had a different mindset when it came to the financial goals of your family.
Yes, ma'am. And Hanif has always been more of the mature one to see the future and see what's going on and or to have a plan for us to, which from my understanding is typical of the female spouse in the relationship. But that's not
you're already starting.
But that wasn't something that I was accustomed to, and it wasn't a thorn in my side, but it was irritating. But not even now that I have money or not have money, now that I'm making a little bit more money, but now that I look back on it 10 years from now, it was important that we maintain that, because not only do we have the protection for our children just in case something does happen as far as our wills and our living trusts and their life insurance and our life insurance, we've been able to, I guess, stack money against it or whatever. It's now beneficial to us or somehow. I'm not quite sure how it works, but somehow it's making me money. That's all I know, is it's making me money. But we've been able to now sit down and start planning and realizing that it doesn't take that much to actually start planning or to start putting away for a decent retirement.
That again, because I think people listening need to hear that. There are still a lot of people who are in the mindset that they don't want to set aside a budget for the things that you're talking about, like life insurance or retirement, especially some younger couples who are thinking about getting married. So it needs to be said again that it really doesn't take that much. You know, for our listeners who are out there, it does not take that much for you to begin to start to put away a little something for your retirement.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all. We sat down with a financial planner, and for me, that's
okay. I'm back. Sorry,
we know.
I'm a cheapskate.
Okay.
My wife will tell you I hold on to stuff. Like my uncle gave me a leather jacket, and the jacket was a little worn, probably 80 style. But I was like, yeah, I'm gonna keep this. This is gonna come in handy one day. I could use it again. Do something with it. I'm that kind of guy.
Right.
Except when it comes to my electronics, I have to have my 52-inch screen TV with
Jesus Christ.
Let's testosterone flow. Why don't we?
However, but it doesn't take much at all. It took, we sat down and talked. Now, for us to actually do what we want to, it won't cost me, with the income that I make right now, very much money. But you can actually start with $25 a month. And $25 a month won't get you $1 million retirement, but $25 a month will get you $150,000 retirement on top of whatever else you might be putting away for your 401k or for your job's retirement or union benefit, something like that. But literally, it doesn't take that much at all to get started.
But the point being that you have to get started, and everybody has to know their roles, meaning who is better at money. Unfortunately, in my home, my husband is not. I'm the one that's going to be better with the money and taking care of the bills.
Okay.
Jamal's a simple man, meaning he'll work, he'll give you the check because he's just not going to do it. It's just not going to happen. Or if you do leave it up to him, your life's going to be cut off type. You better.
Pretty much.
You better take care because you're going to get a red bill in the mail talking about your life is getting cut off.
Okay.
Or he paid the bill.
As long as she says that all of the bill has, and which also goes to back to making sure, investing and saving, because I learned the hard way to pay the bill, all of the bill, unless you have no other money.
I'm going to laugh at that, 80%. Yes. He was the one that went, I could put 10 here and I could put 15 here.
Oh, hold on, guys. Hold on, because you're both speaking, and I don't want anybody to miss anything.
Oh, I apologize. Jamal was the kind of guy when we first got married. I could put $20 on this bill, $10 on this one, and $50 on that one, and still have money in my pocket and not pay the whole bill.
Right.
When he met me, I'm someone that I pay the whole bill.
Right,
there
yeah,
is no
he takes the money.
Way.
I'm like, okay, the bill's $85. They said I only need to keep my lights on, I need to pay 80% of the bill. So that's only about $50. So I can pay $50 on my gas
bill
and then still have like $30 in my pocket to not even worry about it. And then I can go
the
another
lesson?
30 days. And then,
the lesson.
But yeah.
Yeah. I want to know what
the lesson
however,
is or the hard
however
way.
Is, the problem mm-hmm. is that when you're paying the bill late, that's mm-hmm. still late. That bill
mm-hmm.
isn't on time, so
mm-hmm.
that dings your credit. And for me, I learned every month I was late. Every month
talk
I
about,
was late.
Talk about
so
it again. That it affects
like
what?
420.
Oh. Jamal, stay focused and listen. Do you hear him talking to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It affects my credit.
Right. It affects the credit and.
No, and it affects the marriage. Let me be clear.
Well, that
we've had. In the beginning, my lights were cut off.
Mm-hmm.
People were coming to take a car from me because somebody didn't pay the car note on time. And I'm just like, what the hell is going on? Mind you, I'm someone that takes care of bills.
Right.
Those were the hard lessons because it can destroy a marriage. Did it destroy mm-hmm. ours? No. But did it put a heavy weight on it? Absolutely.
Man, I heard about that for 10 years straight.
Yes.
I paid off the Highlander. I heard about that for 10 years running. Couldn't
yes,
say nothing
did.
About it either. Like, okay.
All right, so,
yes,
so for our couples who are really listening, you do want to have that conversation about roles when it comes to paying the bills and actually how you share your money. One of the things that we talked about last week was, did you have the conversation about you're going to have one joint account, or did you have a joint account plus two separate accounts?
Oh, I'll be honest. What works here for us
mm-hmm.
is we have a joint. Every household is different.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I was dealing with someone that was not good with money.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be foolish. Should I be foolish? I have two mouths to feed.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a joint account,
mm-hmm.
and I have one separate.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamal's entitled to have one separate, too. I was like that from the gate, and I will not waver from that. That's how I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
He can know what's in it. Makes me none. I can know what's in his. But this is the thing. Yes, we have a joint account. The joint account is for us to take care of home stuff, making sure the bills are covered, making sure, like I said, you're stacking your money, putting money up, saving. Got that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your separate accounts are for things that you want to do. Mind you, you, too, are an entrepreneur. I may have things that I need that I don't need it to be. I don't need to be touching some home money.
Wait, hold
or saving.
On. You're breaking up just a little bit.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'm trying to make sure that it's not anything over here.
Clearly.
Epic cave receivers. Cave receivers.
Okay, hello? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there's just some sort of feedback going on.
Maybe because we're too close again?
Could be. I'm not sure. Bear with us, audience, as we try to get this right, because I
okay,
really don't
one
want
second.
You to miss any word that they're saying.
Hello? Okay, hold on one second.
How are you?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better. That's much better.
Okay.
Okay,
right,
so you were talking about what works for you is that you have, you know, a joint account and you have separate accounts. You both don't have a problem sharing or letting each other know what's in your separate accounts, but you maintain a joint account to pay all the bills.
Yes, to maintain your household, to make sure that that is something you don't touch.
Mm-hmm.
And the joint account also, of course, has a savings account. So you make sure that you're still saving towards you guys' goals and whatever it is that you're trying to do, but that is not to be touched, because I feel like what's hard now for me is that Jamal's working and I'm not, because I'm able to put into my separate account.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, I want to be able to, if I decide to go out with you, Cynthia, that I don't have to keep asking for money.
Right.
I have money in my own accounts and I know that I'm not going to be worried about my light bill tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing for Jamal. He has a separate account where he doesn't have to worry about, oh, shoot, if I go spend this,
mm-hmm.
rent's not going to get paid. We needed it for this or we needed it for that. That's his own spending money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody should be entitled to that when you're out there busting your behind working.
Mm-hmm.
But also be responsible.
That shows right off the top, so you wouldn't have
yep.
to have any issues.
Soon as it gets into the account, I get mine off the top, and then now I'm playing. But
no, he's not. He is not playing. That is what he do, and that's fine as long as the home is taken care of.
Right. Right.
And home has to be taken care of. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Before I was working, the joint accounts were still 50-50. So if regardless of if I was working more or she was, if when that account, when it came time to pay all the bills, everything that we had to do, we shared down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not she made more or she contributed more, or if it was her car versus my car, my car no, was a little more expensive than hers, or her insurance, all of it, whether it was what it was, we split it down the line for our joint accounts.
Right.
So the household bills were the household bills. It wasn't her bill. It wasn't my – I mean, it was, but it wasn't in terms of, okay, did you pay your bill this month or did you pay my bill this month type stuff. That's the only way it was hers or mine. But we made sure those bills got paid before anything else. And
I want to say this, though. That didn't start until the second year of marriage, okay? I'm not going to sit here and say that, because the spending habits was weird to me. I wasn't used to that. And I take money seriously. I come from a different lifestyle than Jamal. You know, a little bit of my background. You know, I was homeless before. I've been on my own since I was 16 years old. So I don't play with money, period.
Right.
I take it very serious. So for me, when his spending habits, until now he has changed, yes, but he still likes to spend, but it's under wraps now, should I say. We got it in control. But when his spending habits were, meaning, I feel like he didn't have respect for money at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make more and I'll just get, I was like, well, you can't just live for today. When that behavior was what it is, of course, your self-preservation kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
And so Hanif took care of Hanif, as I should have. I made sure the bills were getting paid. I wasn't going to feel like I'm taking care of everybody's stuff and nobody's contributing and you spend your money only what you want. That's something that Jamal had to learn,
mm-hmm.
that we take care of house first,
mm-hmm.
and then you can have your, you know, your spending money. But we are a unit, and we
mm-hmm.
must act like it, and we have to take care of each other. If I am lacking, then that means you should be lacking as well. Meaning, if you're not taking care of me, you know, if Hanif's taking care of everybody else and nobody's taking care of Hanif, then I'm the one that's depleted and I have nothing left to give you. So
okay,
with the
okay.
money, you know what I mean? So
yep,
with the
so,
money thing,
mm-hmm.
we really had to, those were real hard lessons in the beginning of our marriage. Like, we really had to learn some stuff.
So for the couples that are listening or for individuals who are listening, this is a good conversation starter. It's a good conversation to have because, you know, when you're all in love and you're in the honeymoon stages, don't neglect to have the conversation about your different backgrounds so that you can find out the mindset or the money mindsets and attitudes of your intended.
Yeah.
Because if you have that conversation first,
not that I had very much, my mother and father
mm-hmm.
had very much, but
mm-hmm.
my family did, my aunts and uncles did, and we didn't, they didn't, whenever their PlayStation broke or their Sega broke, they got a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Or we did, well, we got one or two, but my mom was a little more frugal. But the habits or the values that I got from money, I got from my
father's side.
And
that's true.
While my mom didn't have much, she made sure we had. But whenever my mom didn't have, my aunts and uncles stepped in. So I never wanted for very much of anything. Like, literally, if my mom didn't have the money to, which is what they should have done, or not should have done, is I don't have any, it's not something that I'm ashamed of, but that's what, in my opinion, that's what your family is supposed to do. When one is struggling, if you have it, you step up and you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I
believe this.
Hold on, let him finish.
As she said, my family or somehow, some way, I'll get some more. I've always had that safety net. And it took me a long time to stand up on my own, even in my marriage. After being married for a long time, I still depended, or not depended, but knew that I had that safety net and didn't really take, how can I put it, responsibilities for myself.
Yes, correct.
And it's only been until the last couple of years that I've tried to depend less on my family and more on me and going without and trying to make sure that I'm not, again, I'm raising my family and taking care of my family and not my extended family taking care of my family.
Was there something specific that made you approach that change? What was it that made you start thinking in that way?
I'm 30 years old, and I don't think I've had one time in my life where my family hasn't bailed me out for something. It was just not an epiphany per se, but I was just sitting one day and was like, hey, I needed something, actually. That's what it was. I needed something, and I was thinking to myself, like, wow, every time I need something, I go to this one person, and I'm kind of tired of going to this one person. I know they're kind of tired of me going, but I know they're not going to say no because that's my family. But I don't.
So your family members never brought it up to you that at some point?
I mean, that's my family. They'll talk crap while they're doing it. My aunt will hand out $1,000 in your hand, and every hundred she counts, you are no good, and you should go and get your job. But I love you, but you know what you should do with it? And every hundred, she's giving you money. But I love her to death, and she only wants to help. And she's not, again, my family's not the type to just give you money if you're not doing nothing. If they really think you're trying to do something, then they'll help you. But I had a family, and I didn't depend on my wife and my family, my immediate family, to support me. I was looking outside to get my support. And again, a couple years, or maybe the last year, honestly.
Yes, just keep it real.
The last year, I've been trying to do it myself.
Right. Well, that's what I'm proud about. He has been doing it himself, and I will say, what you have to realize is, when you're married, your family, what you come from and what you've seen will teach you your valuable financial lessons in life. To me, in my eyes, the family was a crutch. They never said no. Like he said, they cursed him out probably, but they never, and I didn't understand that. I didn't come from a family like that. My mom, she helped you to a certain degree, and that's it. You know, pull up, get your big girl drawers on, and go get you a job and take care of yourself. He didn't have to worry about that. So, again, that I believe that's where the value of money came from, to where, oh, I can get it regardless. You know, ain't nobody going to watch me struggle. Well, see, for me, it was different. I was homeless. I know what it is not to eat and not to be able to shower. So I don't take – I look at money in a whole different way.
All right. So when you guys finally kind of revealed your money attitudes to one another – How did that affect the marriage, and how did you get to this point? How did it affect your marriage when you finally realized?
Can I ask this?
Say that
I'm
again,
trying
Jamal?
To hear the question, Jamal. Thank you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, what did you say? I'm sorry,
Cynthia.
I'm trying to hear you.
It's okay. I was asking, how did it affect the marriage up until this point? I know you already said that it was difficult. you know, you really had to go in and you stepped up and you did it. You took care of things.
It almost broke us up. I'll just be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. It almost just broke us up.
It's always been a problem. It leaked into other parts of our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's important too, because a lot of people don't realize
I quite honestly, my wife didn't see me as a man or her husband. Basically, in the back of her mind, subconsciously, for the last 11 years, she saw me as not her husband. Whatever it was, she didn't see me as her husband or her equal.
I saw you as my husband, but was he treated that way all the time? No. No. Did sometimes I felt like I was raising another child? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just feel that is not the dynamic it's supposed to be when you get married. That is my opinion. A man is supposed to take care of his household, not the man's family.
All right.
And not that money was everything to us. And
right.
we knew that coming in. We both knew coming in. And it is the ability to do and not do.
Right.
That was the issue.
Right.
The ability to do better and not do better, I think, anyway, was the issue.
So now the question is this, because you've come through these role changes, you've come through growth in the way that you think about how you're supposed to be handling and managing money, and now Hanif, you're staying at home and Jamal is working, and what is that transition like for the both of you where now he has stepped up? And he is the provider, he is the husband, and you have to kind of, I don't know if you have to step back, tell me exactly what happened. And
hell
how
yeah,
handling.
It's the hardest thing. Let's get real. step back most definitely.
One at a time, because I definitely want to hear the differences between the both of you. So, Hanif, why don't you talk to me a little bit about your transition?
I think Jamal feels more respected and more loved now that he is providing and being the head of the household.
I don't have
a problem.
Going to have Jamal tell me about how he feels. I want to
know.
Oh,
absolutely. Well, for me, it was easy to fall in line, and I noticed when people, what do you mean fall in line? It was easier for me to submit completely when I saw my husband be the man that I knew that he should always have been.
Mm-hmm.
What is difficult for me is because I'm a strong woman,
mm-hmm.
and I am a control freak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, know your stuff. I am. Well, it is what it is. You know, you got to
right.
be honest
no, no,
with yourself
no.
of who you are.
Right.
To
and
relinquish, yeah, mm-hmm. to relinquish that control nearly drove me insane. Because I don't want to ask him. I know it's very hard for me
mm-hmm.
to ask someone, anybody, for money.
Right.
And I'm not comfortable in doing that at all. I don't want to come to my husband for everything, you know, like Jamal, knee pads, or excuse me, something like that, you know. I'm used to going in my own pocket and getting what it is that Hanif needs.
Right.
So for me, that is, I'm still working through it. Have I arrived yet? No. Am I working through it? Yes. And I'm okay with doing that because I know that Jamal loves me, and I know that for me, I feel like he's not trying to control me with the money or anything like that. And he's always been the one, hey, get whatever you need. If you need something and we have it, it's there. It's more of my own issue
right.
of me just trying to get used to that fact.
The transition.
It's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
difficult for me.
Okay. Okay. And Jamal, for you, I mean, talk to me about your transition into this new role that you're playing.
Oh, before I actually got the job that I'm working now, I was actually working, as soon as I graduated, the day I graduated, I clocked out from school and then went and clocked into my new job, to
mm-hmm.
a new job. So I was working for maybe 2 months after I got out of school, for what I went to school for. So I'm making money and I'm doing what I'm supposed to now, and I know that the next job is around the corner, the one that's going to pay me what it's supposed to. And I told one of my coworkers that, hey, when you working, everything is great. When you married and you working, because this guy is a newlywed, and I'm trying to give him some tips too about how he should approach some things in his marriage, let him know that he needs to be honest early.
Mm-hmm.
But I told him, a woman, I don't care what, if you want making money, a woman got to see you working. A black woman got to see you working anyway. I don't care how much money you bring him in.
I didn't expect him to say that, but he said it.
Jamal always takes us there, so I try not to be surprised, but he's going to take us there every time. But go ahead, Jamal.
When I wasn't working, I couldn't work in the last 3 years, but before that is I didn't want to. And I was just relying on certain incomes or certain other things to get money without working.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not something that was very happy in my marriage, so mm-hmm. or very tolerated in my marriage. So once I started working and making money and she started relinquishing control, I was BNIC on campus because I was walking around with tall man's kick. Like, yeah, I love this. Like, my wife fell in line now, I'm playing.
So what?
Now,
don't start now. It won't be none. Don't play.
Okay.
Nah,
you know she's gonna hang up the phone. She's just gonna jump. So you need to just stop.
Okay.
I'm taking care of my family. That was the biggest thing.
Right.
I can afford. I can now take care of my family, which is also a big change because now my kids are like, Dad, we want you to go back to not working because we don't see you anymore.
Oh wow! Now
that's something that we do wanted to tap into.
Right.
Yeah, that's very, very hard.
Okay, so it's affecting your children because now you are working, and not that you're working all the time, but you're on a totally different schedule.
Oh, yeah. Actually, now I'm working about. Before I was working 7 days a week. Now it's about 6 days a week. But yeah, I was working every day. So they are pretty much not seeing me other than school and sleep a couple hours. That's going to change, but that's a part of getting the income needed now because I waited 10 years. I slacked 10 years in the game, so I need to get back 10 years before I kill myself. Right now, I'm 30. I can do 10 years to double up on what I missed before I'm at my 40s and 50s where I can't do that anymore, and I can still enjoy my health where I haven't worked myself to death to where when I'm in my 70s and 80s, when I want to enjoy my money, I'm going to be spending it on hospital bills because I haven't worked myself to death.
Right. All right. You know what? So let's pause for a second and talk about conversations with the children.
Yes.
Because I think that's a very good topic that you've kind of brought up. I didn't even expect to have this conversation tonight, but I think it's important when you started this and when your kids said, we don't see you anymore, what is the conversation that you have with your children about why you are working as hard as you are and what the future plan is for the family as a whole?
Well, I tell them that, hey, right now daddy has to work a little harder because he's trying to get us somewhere. And once I get us there, because they don't understand, daddy wants to buy a house. Daddy wants to be able to have a house but have enough money to put down on a house so where I'm not, as soon as I buy the house, losing the house 3 months later because I can't afford the payments and my credit ain't straight and all this stuff. So I'm going to have to work more than a year or two in order to do that. So I tell them, hey, that it's not going to be like this forever. Daddy's got to get a couple things, and then I'll be able to spend more time with you. But until then, I'll do what I can to make up the time. And what kind of hurt that I had to come to a realization, I'm starting to do what my family did, which is buy stuff. Instead of staying with my time, I'm replacing it with it to kind of appease them. And me and my wife had this conversation maybe a week ago. Like, I'm doing what my aunts and uncles used to do. My aunts and uncles would have to commute to L.A. from Rialto. So they're on the road 2 to 3 hours a day. Then that's just minimum. So by the time they get home, they don't see their kids. It's 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night. And pizza and McDonald's are feeding her kids, my aunt's kids. And they grew up with babies at 15 to 16, both of them, actually, or two out of three ended up with children before they were 18, and multiple children before they were 18.
Right.
So I didn't want to, I definitely didn't want my children or my family to follow that path. So now I'm seeing that I can't wait 3 and 5 years to stop and take time with them. Because if I do that, they're at the age at 3 and 5 years, they're going to be 15 and 16.
Mm-hmm.
And those, the time now is to get them ready for the 15 and 16 when they're trying to sneak out my window and go mess with little girls and stuff.
Right.
And do stuff they're not supposed to.
Well,
so
tell me this. Do you have that conversation with them as to why you're working so hard now? Do you tell them, look, you know, daddy came into this marriage, or this is my money attitude beforehand, and the reason why I have to work harder now is because, you know, this and this. Do you
oh,
turn
definitely.
It into a
I tell
learning
him, I tell him, daddy,
point.
I tell him the reason why daddy's working so hard now is because daddy didn't get his degree until he was 30 years old. If
mm-hmm.
daddy would have stayed in school and did what he was supposed to, because I tell them all the time, this family, I don't care what you do in life, you're going to graduate at least high school, and you're going to get an education in some kind of trade or something after school. Because education, regardless of what you have, or trade or something, you have to have something. You can't just sit in my house and be a dump. I don't care what
right.
you're going to get some kind of. And traditional education isn't necessarily education, but you're going to be educated. Whether it's black power education or black history education, or you know how to build a car down to its last bolt and nut, you're going to have some kind of education behind you. So I tell them, if you stay in school and do it now, that you won't have to work 18-hour shifts like daddy and to make up time when he was 30 or when he was should have been doing this at 22 instead of 32.
Mm-hmm.
I tell them that frequently, like, hey, don't be like daddy. Yeah, keep going to school. School never stops, even though you have one education. Doesn't mean you have to stop learning. But you don't be 30 years old and not have your career already because you took your time to do whatever and play and go and hang out after high school or not be serious. Because you see how what's happening to dad, and you don't want this to happen to your kids, right?
Right.
And,
so you do give them the cause and effect of why things are the way they are currently.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
ma'am.
Wonderful, wonderful. I like that because I don't think that enough people are having the conversations with their children. I think that they think it's a form of protection.
No,
and
we sit with ours. We're kind of very open with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
Age-appropriate open. But we sit with them. They ask me all the time. They go, I said, well, daddy's working. And they'll say, well, you know, I miss him. I said, yeah, I miss him too. But in order for us to have a roof over our head, for you to be able to be driven to school
mm-hmm.
and food on the table,
mm-hmm.
he has to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you were used to mommy doing it, but now we're doing it the correct way.
Now,
and we leave it at that.
They're also used to daddy being home, like a major part of their education and part of their upbringing, and a lot of their friends like don't have, like when they say, when Samantha Savon says they have both their parents in the home, like most of their friends are like, huh?
Right.
Like,
right.
What you talk about, both your mom and dad took you to the store yesterday. My mom took me. Don't you mean your mom? Like, nah, my parents took me. So they're used to us having being there. And them, especially them, they're like, dad's not here anymore. They kind of understand, but they don't understand it.
Right,
all they
because
know,
they're still the human emotions because they miss their father.
Yeah,
yes.
All they know is dad's not here. He making money. He working. Yeah, I
mm-hmm.
like that part, but here. I want him to can't he do both?
Right, right. Well, on that point, I really have to, like, give you guys kudos on how you're handling that situation. I think it's awesome that you're doing this as a family. You know, you didn't just, like, make the decisions amongst just the two of you and not try to explain it to your children. The fact that you're doing it as a family, you know, it really makes me want to just, you know, give you guys a hand. And I'm like, wow. And
oh,
I'm hoping
you.
That other people who are listening will take notes on this. And, you know, sometimes, like I said, sometimes it's a thing of fear. Sometimes I think they're protecting. And then, again, as we said, every way is not for every family, but I happen to...
Yeah, like I said, I still fall short of
mm-hmm.
all my parenting skills. I like I said, there, I found myself slipping into trying to replace my time with gifts. Mm-hmm. So I
but
still
I
need
that.
So that's why, like I said, I have a partner there, and I need to find it. What she does, what the wife does, is she yells at me when she sees that I'm supposed to be doing something, mm-hmm. and then I don't yell back. I just get up and do it, and then everything works out. So it's pretty much when I know she's yelling at me, and it's like for no reason. It's her way of telling me, hey, you need to start spending some time with your kids, because that seems to be the only way that I listen to her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No,
I
love it.
True.
I love it. So now when you're both, we've kind of like almost gone all over the place, although everything is relevant that we're talking about. But now you're in this place. You've had the conversation. You have decided to talk with a financial planner. How is it that you're going about making the plan for your future as a family?
Go ahead, honey.
No, I'm trying to think of a good way to answer that. You mean, how are we going about it?
Right, I mean, did you speak to a financial planner, or did you just kind of go Google up?
Oh, no. We went to a professional.
We were, and however,
no, just
we were,
just the short way to say it, we went through, I'm sorry, baby, let me, can I answer this?
Right.
Mm-hmm. We went to a professional,
mm-hmm.
Because I wanted my husband to see it from somebody else's point of view than mine.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I only know so much about money. So you go to someone that deals with money all the time. I say go to somebody professional. That's what we did. And as a matter of fact, I think we have a meeting tomorrow. I'm going to put you on hold. Let Jamal finish that real quick.
All right. Jamal,
sorry.
You guys
sorry.
Decided to seek professional help.
Yes,
and
we had been just speaking about it that day. And
mm-hmm.
While we were walking, someone had approached us about getting our professional portfolio together. So that is, the timing was perfect. So we decided to see what this person was talking about.
Sorry, I'm back.
They were associated with someone else we knew,
mm-hmm.
and which made it even better. So it was like kismet. We were meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, we made sure we sought professional help and sought that. Not only did we get one opinion, we got multiple opinions. And it's not that hard to get opinions. You can listen to your local talk radio show, and if you don't even have to be that educated, they break it down at dumb talk, and you can listen to it. Or, like I said, you can even start with just putting $25 a month away in your bank account. If that's all that you know, and you don't know how to go and get the help, if you're not that wise for Google, or say everybody you talk to says you need $5,000 to get in touch or to even start investing with them, it's not true. You just haven't found the right person yet. But
right, every family. Let's stop right there and just say that every family has to figure out what their budget is.
Absolutely,
and there are. Financial professionals that deal with different budgets. And like you said, there's some that really just start with $5,000 and up, but there are others that work with what you have. So please choose a financial professional, if you decide to go that way, that really works within your budget for your family.
There you go. That's
yeah,
true.
Definitely. And just to start saving now, you can start it as early as... When you start making money, you start saving money. Is what I say. The instant you start making money, you should start saving money. And
right.
I'm not the best person to say I did it. I'm speaking from experience to tell you that, hey, I didn't do it and now I'm struggling. Once
mm-hmm.
you start making money, save money and don't touch it. I couldn't understand that for long.
Because you felt like money had to be touched.
Yeah.
Jamal, girl, touch, spent, and you have no idea. I mean, just recently we were in a hole about something. Something was going on with our account. My poor baby. My husband could not be patient. He's like, we got to take it out the savings. And I'm like, you better not touch that money. Don't touch that money. Because his old self was coming back, but he got it. I said, everything's going to get taken care of. Trust
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
And it did. But I'm showing my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And without the yelling, is saying, trust me, you have to leave that money there like you don't have it. Mm-hmm. You have to. You will never save it if you find every reason to spend it.
Right,
and that is
and
the
like
biggest.
Said, it really doesn't take that much because I remember, you know, my mom used to say, even if it's just $5 a week, just put away
yep.
$5 a week and just don't touch it. It really does
add up over time. Mm-hmm. And you don't think about it, but after about a year, you probably got $1,000 sitting in the bank or close to $600, $700, I don't know. But 52
right.
weeks, 52 times, yeah, something like that.
Right. Sometimes it's $250, sometimes it's $500, but whatever it is, you're still $250 richer than you were the previous year. I can say that one of the techniques that I employed, you know, years ago was, you try to live within or below your means. And even every time I got a raise, I still wouldn't touch the raise. I would send the raise to the bank account as well and just didn't touch it. I would send it into savings unless, of course, there was some sort of emergency, which is what a savings is for.
Right.
You know, that I needed it for, but I wouldn't even touch whenever I used to get a raise. And sometimes it's still something that I employ.
See, we have to, the big thing is you have to discern. Emergencies are relative. To me, an emergency is I'm broke. I don't have any money in my pocket, and there's some money in my savings account. That's an emergency.
No, that really is.
My
That's
wife, an emergency. An emergency is we don't have any lights, we don't have any gas, and the car is
the car shop. Broke down. Yeah.
Well, now we can touch our savings.
Then that sounds like another conversation that couples should have, that you guys have to determine between each other what's
an emergency.
Yeah, what determines an emergency? Because to me, I'm with you, but if there's absolutely no more money in my pocket and I need the money for something essential, then that's what the account is there for. And, you know, or if I'm sick and I'm home and I've been sick for a while and I haven't been bringing any money in, that's what the emergency account is for. But
yeah, but that's different. When you're sick and you've been off, yeah, you take care of bills, but I'm sorry, you need to keep a minimum of $20 in your pocket. And there is no, I'm sorry, but no.
Yeah, like I said, you notice that I said after the car is broken down, now I said the lights can be off. The rate could be blue, and the car is broken down. Then we touch the savings. As long as we still got the mode of transportation, we can still get back and forth to work. So we ain't got to worry about touching the savings. You're gonna get your butt up, go to work, work some extra hours. You're gonna make sure the rent get paid. They gave us 5 days. 5 days grace. You better have a rent, not a pencil.
Whatever works for you guys.
I'm touching that savings.
Not touching it. I'm not gonna touch it.
Lord.
Whatever works best for you guys is what you should do. And of course, same thing for you couples out there. It's a discussion that you definitely want to have. You need to figure out what constitutes an emergency and reasons to touch your savings. Now, although, you know, I would not go as far as before the car breaks down because you want to keep the car in good condition. But
that's what I'm saying.
But whatever works for you. So go on. You guys, you went to a professional, financial professional. You figured how much money you want to be putting away each week or each month, rather.
To afford the lifestyle that we want once we become of the age of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we found out what we wanted to put away. Now, again, like you said, there are levels of retirement. There are billionaire levels, and then there's just getting by levels. So you can always determine what you want to put away for your retirement. So, but yeah, we set it the set amount, and now our money goes there off the top. So make sure that way you don't see it. You don't ever have to have the money. That 27, that $700 that you're putting away towards your savings, you never see come out of your check. So
mm-hmm.
you don't feel the pain of giving it up because you don't miss what you never had.
Right. Right. I'm so excited that you guys are doing this, and I'm sure that I'm going to have you guys back on again at some point, but much later on, because I want to hear about your progress. I want you to keep us posted about your progress and where you're going with things.
Well, I plan on having property by the end of this year, so
I love it.
How that works by the end of this year, yeah.
Okay, so you know what? Let's
plan on having property.
Let's pinpoint. So what are your goals? What are your goals? You sat down and you said, this is what we want. what goals have you set together for each amount of time for year 1, year 5, year 10?
Year one. Oh, go ahead, Jerry.
We plan on having property out of state and something small in California around the area.
Mm-hmm.
The area I live in, it's going to, I want property. I don't care about what the house looks like. I don't want my
Lord have mercy
in my yard and to be able to see me and my wife looking at the back. Matter of fact, you can open your window and touch my window in some of the places in California.
Right.
I hate that.
And right.
Everything where I live that isn't that costs $500,000. And now I make money, I don't make that much money.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
in order for me to get what I want here in California, I have to get something like a condo, or I can't get what I want here in California. So I'm not paying stupid money for something I don't want. So
right.
I'm going to pay enough just to get my family comfortable and then go and buy my land somewhere else. So
mm-hmm.
when I retire, I can go there. Now, I plan on having something small here, or we plan on having something small here by the
good,
end of
good
the
clean year. Up. Good cleanup, Jamal. I like it.
Excuse me. Something small here and property by the end of the year. And after that, my wife and I plan on going. Actually, now my wife plans on growing her business, the Touch My Closet brand, by the end of the year and having over 1,000 followers liking her page on her webpage. But we both have pretty lofty goals just for the first year of starting our new journey. So this is our new life, and we have been setting our first year's goals pretty high so that when year 5 and 10 rolls around, we're already well ahead of what we should be doing. Because we might not reach all of our goals, but if we set them high and keep shooting high, when we fail, we fail at the top, or really close to the top.
Yes, sir.
I love it. I mean, I everything that you're saying is, like I said, very important information, excellent information to be sharing, that you actually, at this point now, are on the same page when it comes to talking about and discussing what it is that you want for your future. And, you know, and again, I know Hanif still was saying that it's very difficult for her to kind of relinquish that. I don't want to say it's not control. It's just about the independence of being able to just shoot for whatever you want without, you know.
You don't have to say control as much as responsibility.
Okay.
The responsibility was on her, so the weight was on her shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Now she doesn't have to worry about it anymore. That responsibility is no longer on her shoulders. It's on mine. So I've taken that responsibility. It's not a control issue. She doesn't have to be as mindful as she was. She didn't have to mind the fort as much now. Mm-hmm. She can take a break because relinquish some of that responsibility from her.
Okay, so then let's do what we always do, which is to kind of give points. You know, talk about the points that work for you. Let's break it down to 5 points. When it comes to setting goals together, what is it that you would suggest to a couple that is now where you were before?
The number one is your communication. Like I said, it's always communication.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's about specific things. Now, a lot of the stuff that we've talked about, you don't realize when you first get married. These are conversations you should be having. But as you, that's why we're actually having these conversations so that you can, the stuff that you don't think about.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, hey, maybe that is something that I never thought about. I like my money, and maybe he likes to spend my money.
Mm-hmm.
So let's figure out if that's somebody I really want to be with.
Mm-hmm.
Or in our case, he likes to spend our money.
Right.
So we determine if that's somebody I really want to be with. So always, number one is communication.
Observation before communication. That's what we said last week. And Hanif, you know, why don't we have you give 1 point? I know I asked for 5, but Jamal pretty much summed up so much in one point. We'll have Hanif do the same thing. Let's sum it up in one point that you can bring to us.
If you're in the beginning stages, I just think being honest with your true feelings about where you stand when it comes to finance. And if you see that your mate is weak to it, you need to stand your ground. Because, again, you both can't end up homeless and without. But try different avenues, try different ways to bring in that approach to your mate. You know, sometimes the yelling isn't going to do it. Maybe counseling would help.
Mm-hmm.
So they can see through somebody else's eyes the mistakes that they're making. Because for some reason it's harder for even myself, you know, sometimes to take the criticism from your mate. But sometimes if you get someone else to talk to you, it's easier. I guess that sums it up. Just make sure you, what Jamal said, just communicating, but stand your ground and be honest, though.
Excellent point.
Be honest.
Yeah, be honest. Communicate. You've also included the fact that sometimes you might want to seek professional financial help because sometimes you just may not know. A lot of people come into marriages and relationships knowing nothing because they're bringing, of course, what they learned through their families who may not have known. So definitely seek professional help. And everything that you guys talked about is paramount in building trust with one another when you both have a conversation and you're heading in the same direction. So I want to thank you guys for being on. Believe it or not, the hour is up. Isn't that always shocking?
Yes.
We do it all the time because, you know, the audience doesn't know, but, you know, they're not feeling well. And, you know, we both said if you really don't feel well, we'll try to kind of cut it down to 30 or 35 minutes and let you guys go feel better. But, hour gone. We always enjoy when you guys come on. I know I do. So I'm going to let you guys go again. So happy that you guys came on.
Wonderful.
Thank you for having us.
Of course, of course. And for all of you listeners, I want you to check out Touch My Closet on Facebook and on Twitter. Do you have your website up yet, guys?
No, they can just find me at www.facebook.com/touchmycloset. Also, for the Blog Talk Radio show, it's the same Facebook, but /Blog Talk Radio TMC. They can find me there. The website won't be up until next year, our grand opening. So for right now, follow me on Facebook and please like me. We will definitely appreciate it, and you will not be disappointed.
Wonderful, wonderful. On that note, we want to also invite everyone to visit Bridal Tribe. You know, we do have a website, bridaltribe.com. We are a company about love, beauty, fun, weddings, and marriage, and we hope that you would enjoy everything that we share with you. Please visit our blog as well. We have wonderful stories introducing you to wonderful vendors, and of course our radio show. If you if this is your first time listening to us tonight, you can visit our archives where you also can reintroduce yourself to the Jordans. They were our very first show. They shared their wonderful story about how they met and married. I think we said 27 days, and then we talked about it and found out that it was less days after first meeting, and they discussed their journey. So visit us on Facebook. Visit us on our blog as well as the website. We're always happy to have you listening in on our show. And as always, please remember that we are Bridal Tribe, and we are dedicated to love. We will see you again and talk to you again next Wedding Wednesday at 9:30 p.m., where we will continue the topic of setting goals together. Have a wonderful night.